Previously on Two Jews and a Gay, Sarah, who has declared herself on Team Spencer.
I'm all choked up. We gotta get this one on the, podcast. Katie Couric got the exclusive interview with Manti Te'o. Manti Te'o, are you gay? No, far from it. Far from it.
The only thing gayer would it be if he was actually blowing somebody while saying that.
Recurring segment, Sex with Sax. And we're pleased to have Amy Sachs back with us today. So here's the question. But while peeing in front of someone isn't that big of a deal, shitting in front of someone is hard.
Oh my God.
So he can like watch that kind of porn. I would not feel comfortable doing that.
Why are you dating such sick fucks? A girl I used to date was into being hogtied.
That's just hot.
After she told me that, she's like, what about you? Like, what are you into? You know? Dude, I was kind of like, kind of got a thing for Wonder Woman.
Brian, are you telling me you haven't fantasized about Spock?
Yeah, wear the pointed ears, and I want to make your rectum bleed green.
Oh, wow.
We're getting ready to start the podcast. We're almost ready to start.
Episode 18 of Two Jews and a Gay. I am your host, Brian Martinson, along with Jeremy Katz.
I want to congratulate podcast member and right-wing Jew, Aaron, on tying the knot.
And Spencer Yasmin.
I also want to congratulate Aaron Grodin. Fantastic job at the wedding. Amazing New Orleans food. I had four rounds of shrimp cocktail. Anybody who's been to the buffets with me in Vegas knows that is... that's actually below my average. The mercury poisoning did kick in about 5 minutes into it.
So you went to the wedding in New Orleans?
Correct. And it was fantastic. Some of the best food I've ever had at a wedding. Book it.
Was there more black people or Democrats?
And with that, you just lost your presidential run for 2020.
There was actually one guy that came out.
What's that?
I said I also want to congratulate Aaron. And hopefully he's having a fantastic honeymoon, and he, you know, comes back ready for the great path that this country is being put on by President Barack Obama.
And Spencer, didn't you tell us that his younger brother had something to say to the gay on the podcast?
Yeah, you know, like I'm going to the hospitality room and I see his younger brother. First thing the younger brother says to me is, "Hey, look, I listen to the podcast. I love it." And then he says, "Aaron crushed the gay."
Such crap. I mean,
the people have spoken.
Yeah, his brother spoke. I mean, ooh, I'm sure I could have my sister listen to it, and she, you know, once she understood what I was saying, she would totally agree with me. So this is the first time that we've been recording since we introduced the mailing list. So if you are listening to this and receive the mailing, the email from us saying that episode 18 is now live, we appreciate you checking out our MailChimp mail list. We just part of the...
Someone say shrimp?
It's MailChimp.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yes. I also want to give a shout-out to Amy Sachs for suggesting this. It was fantastic of her to make the suggestion, and it's worked out very well so far. So, Amy, thank you. You may get that executive producer credit yet.
And there will be T-shirts coming out eventually for the first 10 listeners. I don't know how we're going to determine it, but you will get it.
Are we going to charge for those?
Absolutely.
Nice.
Just shot. Come on, people. We haven't got a sponsorship yet. Come on.
We need someone to create a logo. Maybe Eric's fiance Linda could create a logo for us.
McMahon?
She's quite artistic. Anyway, so it is, of course, that time of the episode now where we pass it over to Spencer for a little dirty talk. So, Spencer, it's all on you now.
Thank you, thank you. I'm actually cutting some of my dirty talk out. It's going to be a two-parter for next episode. It's going to be one of those to-be-continues. You're going to have to wait and see if – what's the guy from CSI Miami? What's his name?
You're doing a to-be-continued for a recurring segment?
Yes. What's the guy from CSI?
Just wanted to make sure.
Caruso. What's his name? Caruso.
Caruso. You're going to have to wait and see if Caruso lives, and more importantly, if his sunglasses get cracked. So we will find out next episode, but let's kick off this one. First off, my friend Steve, first time listening to the podcast, thanks
Steve.
To the email. Steve. It's got to be made up, right? A name like that's got to be made up. But anyway, listens to the podcast for the first time, thanks to the email. And he says, is one of the people on the podcast really gay? Yes, he is. And he's damn proud of it. He also goes on.
Well, but what you don't know is he's actually talking about Jeremy.
No.
No. Low blow. The next next thing he says is, the production quality is good. Like the music and stuff at the intro. So we thank him for that. And the last thing he says to me is, Corey likes to be hogtied. I never said that. That is false. False advertising. But speaking of hogtying, let's move on to our next quote from Dan. Mr. Dan Rosenbaum, who's we love the guy. He once said he would never listen to the podcast. He started to come around. And speaking with the hogtying issue, Dan addresses Jeremy on it and says, what's wrong with you in hogtying? What's wrong with you? Stop being a pansy. You're not getting hogtied. You're doing the hogtying.
Whoa, wait. She wanted to be hogtied? She didn't want me hogtied? Oh my God, this whole time I thought she wanted me hogtied. Well, that changes everything.
Huge. Is there any way you can get call her back up and, or can you go back in time and do like a Back to the
I'm
Future
texting
thing
her right
this
now.
Error. Perfect. I'm sorry, it wasn't you, it was me.
I think it'd be very difficult to be of straight guy being hogtied.
Yeah.
Like, how would you sexually perform?
As Brian Gumbel says on Real Sports, nothing is out of bounds. All right, moving on. Eric, listener of the podcast, contributor of the podcast.
Brother of one of the Jews. Come on, we also have to give him his credit and give him his due.
Who's he related to? He made a comment regarding Derek's Oscar predictions last week. He says he lost all credibility when he said the best supporting actor's field was wide open.
You know what's funny? Is
I don't recall him saying that.
No, he did.
I thought he really said that it was going to be Anne Hathaway's to lose.
No, he says when he first mentioned Best Supporting Actress, he did say it was. He said this one is wide open. So
did he say like Brian Gumbel? Hey, it's wide open.
And what's funny about that is LA Times does a like percentage of who's going to win, and I checked like yesterday, and Anne Hathaway's I think at 99% chance of winning. So obviously. You know, Derek's a little bit in the minority there, but we appreciate his opinion.
Les Mis is very polarizing. I know a lot of people who absolutely viscerally hated that movie.
Yeah, and what's good is there's actually a couple people that kind of came up to me and texted me saying, you know, I really disagree with Derek's Oscar pick, so it's going to make for an interesting segment later in this episode.
Can't wait, because God knows we spent a lot of time and energy on it, so stay tuned for part two and part three of Oscar Talk. Next one. His name is Jeremy.
Hey.
Not Jeremy Katz, though.
Oh.
My friend Jeremy Mayer in Orlando.
Oh.
And he's got a lot on his mind. Basically, the way I sum this up is he goes through the five stages of podcast acceptance during his little rant to me.
Mm-hmm.
He starts off saying, this is Jeremy on Jeremy Love. I listened to your Vegas podcast this morning. Your buddy Jeremy has a great radio voice. Very pleasant to hear while walking at 5:30 a.m.
What was he doing at 5:30 a.m.?
He's walking the dog.
Oh, okay.
He's married.
Or walk of shame.
He's married.
He is a Jeremy. That is possible.
That doesn't preclude a walk of shame,
no.
Spencer.
It's true. There is a possibility. But, you know, he's a married man. You know, walking the dog, that's I think for a married man, that's like the joy in life. So, next up, Jeremy defending Jeremy's name.
Hey.
You need to learn how to say Jeremy. It's not Jeremy, but Jeremy.
Thank you.
It's been an ongoing joke years now. I don't – I like to say things fast. I don't have time to think about how to pronounce people's names. Jeremiah, Katz, and Moyer. I say these names to get around it sometimes, but I think he knows me well enough that I don't mean to disrespect him, but look, what do you want me to say, okay? When I was in fourth grade, I couldn't say TH words, okay? I had to go to a special class for that, too. Can't you just give me a break on this?
I'm surprised you can say your R's, since you are, you know, what is it, a third Chinese?
It's one-eighth. It's one-eighth. It's Mongolian. Now stop it. All right. Jeremiah on Brian hate. Oh, here we go. Brian, okay, I did not – this is true. You guys have come a long way since the beginning. It is pretty good now. The jury is still out on the host. He didn't captivate me.
I'm one of the people.
Shenanigans. Shenanigans.
I'm just like the moderator who tries to keep the ship sailing in one direction.
But as much as my friend Greg has bashed you, this has to upset you a little bit. Like, this guy's not attacking your voice. He's saying you didn't captivate him. And he's speechless, folks. Okay, let's move on. All right, next up.
He's driving Orlando right now as we speak.
Keep in mind, my friend Jeremy is going through the five stages of acceptance, I feel like, in this. So he starts off happy, has a little Brian hate. Then he goes, you kids disgust me. I am disgusted in the stuff you guys are talking about. And that girl saying what she would allow. Referring to Amy. So keep in mind, he's listening to this podcast and like he's giving me play-by-play.
That's awesome.
Next up, I love how you break down the Oscars with the intensity of NFL matchup on ESPN. Are you sure your podcast name shouldn't be 3GJS? I don't even get that part. But anyway, you know, he's giving more commentary. He really likes the Oscar thing. So there you go, Derek. Thanks for – someone likes your Oscar topic at least. Next up, it was the best analysis I've heard ever regarding the Oscars. You guys are really into movies. That is true. And we plan to continue getting movies.
What's great about that, though, is the four of us maybe saw one or two best pictures. So
exactly. But that's why we had Derek come on. Didn't Derek?
Well, even he only saw a couple of them.
And finally, my friend, he came this far, and here he goes with his last quote to me. I asked him if he started listening to another episode yet, and he responds, no, I need time to recoup after the one I heard this morning. So that is the kind of impact we leave on people. they're full of passion. They love Jeremy's voice. They're not so happy with Brian. And then the rest of it's up in the air, so we appreciate it.
I have a feeling vaguely that you're like poisoning people against me.
I promise you. And I plan to get this guy on too. He's another great guest to have on to give the merry
why are these like people intrinsically great guests just because they disagree with me?
Because I feel like
I don't get that. Like,
it's not about
they
you.
They don't seem to really have any other thing to contribute to the podcast other than that there's some sort of antagonist.
Now. Easy. We're not bringing him on to talk about it. Greg, I will not lie. We are bringing him on to talk about his disgust for you. And you're going to give your weekly rant towards him, so it's going to be great. This guy is more about to get the married life perspective. I don't feel like we have – frankly, do we have any friends that are married? I don't know.
No.
So I feel like we should get this guy on, and it'll be a good talk. But we'll save it for later. You still have Greg to deal with, so –
I've already dispatched Greg.
Okay. All right, let's move on. According to Grodin's brother, he did crush you. Now let's continue, shall we? So this segment's called Somebody's Excited for Our High School Graduation in August, which, by the way, is only 6 months away. I was talking to a friend, and the friend
was
asking...
High school graduation, or do you mean reunion?
What did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. Right. Reunion.
And it's why...
Because of that graduation. Like,
Spencer.
Who are you hanging out with, Spencer?
It's been a while.
It's our 10-year anniversary?
It is our 10-year. Wow. So, you know, some of us not so thrilled. Others of us may be. So my friend was asking me if I was going to go and all this. And she says, at first I thought I would want to, but now I don't know either. I would only care about seeing you, some of our other friends, and Adam and Jeremy. So... you know, just to catch up. And then I said, I wouldn't count on them to fly in for it. Well, Adam probably. And then she says, Adam already responded yes to the invite on Facebook. So apparently...
I just have to say, the 10-year reunion is for a bunch of losers
who still live
in the same city that they went to school in and haven't branched out because they have nothing better to do with their time. Like, real people at their 10-year reunion who have real futures, they are like in LA, they're in New York, they're in Chicago, they're doing things with their lives, and they're not trying to like hold on to their glory days of high school.
Brian, to be fair, then there's a guy like Adam who wants to shove it in some of these people's face, you know. He wants to flash that New York look.
There's not much to shove. I mean, the 20-year reunion is the, you know, rub it in people's faces reunion.
I'm just going to throw it out there.
You just look sad and pathetic if you're going there to try to, like, one-up people.
Okay, I'm just going to throw it out there. Guys, what do you think about having Adam on next episode to talk about his reasoning for going to the going for the high school reunion? I think this might be a great conversation starter. Because, you know, I'm kind of mixed. Like, I went to Corey's. It was pretty bad. I don't really have any interest in going to mine after going to hers. It felt like Gross Point Blank, the movie, where it's like a huge auditorium and it's only a quarter full. So I really don't have interest in going, but I kind of want to hear the perspective of someone that's already signed up, yes, on Facebook 6 months in advance. What do you guys think? Can we get him on?
Am I crazy, or do I picture a Brian Martinson at his 10-year high school reunion, like at the table by himself, everyone else hanging out?
I did not go to my 10-year reunion at all.
Did you get invited?
I did, but I was like, I'm not fucking going.
Well, man,
I got better things to do with my
but,
life.
But I mean, for a lot of them, I mean, obviously, you know, you didn't come out as a gay person in high school, so you know, that'd be pretty shocking.
I will say
to
this:
them.
What Facebook has shown me
nailed
is
it.
It's like most of the people from high school have aged horribly.
Oh yeah.
Like seriously, I have not seen so many.
I think that's why
indeed.
Adam wants to shove it to these people. I don't know for sure.
It's not like he's aged all that.
I just get the impression from Adam. I mean, talked to him in the past. Like I think he wants to really stick it to some people. So let's get him on and we'll clear this up. This is a great dilemma.
I can see one of Brian's classmates, like Vicky Williams, is like. Like at the reunion, like, you know who always wanted to fuck? Is that Brian Martinson.
And then you're just gulp.
Brian, you should go back to your reunion and just fuck all those jocks. I mean, you look great compared to these guys. Come on.
Yeah, but why do I want to fuck some like past their prime starting quarterback of the high school football team who, you know,
they were in the closet. They
50 pounds
on you.
50 pounds overweight and is bald.
Because they probably picked on you at the time. They stuck you. They stuck
oh, they
you
picked
in a
on me at the time.
And now you want to bang them in the ass. Let's just be honest here. You want to get revenge.
By what? Banging them poorly?
Just do whatever you got to do. I think. We want to help you out, all right? Let's start the Brian Martinson Get Him to High School Reunion campaign. We're taking donations. Let's get you back there.
It's actually my – I hate to say this. It's going to be my 20-year reunion this year. It's
every 10 years you go back, you just fuck another guy for your class.
The one guy that was nice to him, he bangs the shit out of him. He's like, I didn't do anything to you. He's like, I know, but there's no more guys to do. I'm sorry.
Brian's banging it.
I give you
How
my
do
best.
You have so much hair?
You didn't wear contacts in college. In high school.
I sure did.
All right. Now, what podcast, what Dirty Talk would be Dirty Talk without my friend Greg?
Hey.
So,
I thought you were going to say Joel.
That too. I don't think there's a Joel this week, unfortunately.
And Spencer.
Sorry, the streak's over.
Spencer, what is his nickname, Greg?
What is his nickname?
Yeah.
Is it Brian?
Is it Hello America?
Or the voice of the voiceless.
Oh, the voice.
Oh,
no,
I know.
The voice
Hello
of the voice
America.
Of the voiceless.
Yeah.
No, that's Aaron. Yeah. Yes. He's the voice of the voice of the voiceless. Okay. So he was disappointed with the lack of podcasts in the past week, and he says, I'm losing patience. Have a listener teetering now. May boycott this week's episode. Greg, we hope you don't boycott. We should have this up and running soon enough. Please stay on. You're one of our loyal fans. We appreciate it.
Maybe we should have less Brian in this episode. That might keep him on.
Yeah, Brian, just edit out everything you've said up to this point.
Okay, good.
All right, check.
I'm the comedy of this episode so far. What are you talking about?
Banging jocks left and right.
The guy's getting like I said, he's being banged from behind. Did you wear glasses? Did you wear contacts back in high school? Shut the fuck up. Oh man, I'm laughing. I'm kicking myself up here. Okay, next up, Amy. Before we brought Amy on last week, we're having a discussion, and she says, I accidentally told a guy I was on a date with on Monday that a couple of my friends have this podcast, and he was like, what's it about? It was about their fantasy football league, I told him, but now they just have us on as guests. So he asked what it was called so he could listen, and I refused to tell him, obviously, and he said he'd find it. And I asked you guys, did he find it? Can we bring him on as a guest, if so?
I think he did find it, actually. right, Brian?
I have no idea.
I think Amy told me that he typed in like a couple of two Jews and then it showed up. Which, by the way, not to segue, but our friend of the podcast, Amy Dickens, not Amy Sachs, recently Googled two Jews. And then, you know, the related searches came up, and we're number two, by the way, which is very exciting. But right below us was two Jews fight over a penny. So I'm kind of excited to see that video.
And I gotta say, you know, we are doing this without having to pay for anything on Google. We are, if anyone's interested in hiring us for search engine optimization, we are your
guys. They should look elsewhere.
Hey. All right. This is what I like to call a new segment called Dirty Talk Quote of the Week.
Oh.
There's been so many to choose from in the past. I finally decided we need to have a quote of the week. And it comes from my beloved Corey. Corey says to me, you know, we've been talking about eventually, you know, getting a place together. And she says, I want to see about getting a two-bedroom apartment so we have a separate room for me to do yoga and for you to do stuff like your podcast and watch WWE.
Well, and also a separate place for you to sleep whenever you fight. Yeah,
so my question is, why is okay, I mean, the podcast thing is great. I mean, that. But why is it so embarrassing that I watch WWE that I need to be in a separate – I need to be banished from the the community to watch my WWE. Yes, I watch WWE, okay? Occasionally, I like to watch a male soap opera. That's the way I interpret it. What's the big deal?
Essentially, you're a 15-year-old boy is what she's saying. You go to your little podcast, watch a little wrestling, you know. But what she doesn't know is that leaves you a lot of time to watch some porn. So you're the last one laughing.
And crying at the same time, yes.
And then you're asleep.
It feels so good.
How could The Rock do that? And that is your Dirty Talk Quotes of the Week.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Spencer. We will be now splicing in part two of our Oscar talk with Derek. This one focusing on Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor. We're going to now do the Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor. So, Derek, why don't you go over the nominees for Best Actor in a motion picture?
Okay, so Best Actor, we have Bradley Cooper in Silver Linings Playbook.
He is dreamy, isn't he?
He's a good-looking man.
There was some picture of him at some, I don't know, some awards, and he looked so, like, so tan. It was like someone put, like, fake tanner on him or something. It was odd.
Gotta keep it. Gotta keep it up.
You gotta post that on the podcast. The website, rather. So, Bradley Cooper, Silver Linings Playbook, Daniel Day-Lewis, Lincoln, Hugh Jackman, Les Mis, Joaquin Phoenix, The Master, and Denzel Washington, Flight.
Whoa.
So here we have,
Ben Affleck didn't get nominated?
No.
Oh, man.
No, he didn't.
Ben Affleck got kind of screwed this year.
He didn't get nominated for Best Actor even? Jeez.
I actually don't agree with that. I don't think he got snubbed. I don't think he got snubbed for Best Director. I don't think he got snubbed for Best Actor. There's some huge talent in both categories this year, and I think they got the right people in the nominations.
We agree. Really, we agree to disagree.
Do you think anyone did get snubbed?
I don't think so. They usually get it pretty. They get it pretty right. What do you say, Brian?
I said, Dead Air is fantastic podcast material.
You're gonna add some music
just
there.
Ponder it,
or you can just cut it. You know,
it's a lot of ponder. Okay, so tell us about the actor that you think wins. Or should win.
Okay, I think Daniel Day-Lewis has it set. I mean, there's no one else in that league that's going to be able to compete with him. Daniel Day-Lewis is sort of our, you know, generation's really just the top actor, like, in the game.
Because he makes
and
one
he's
movie
working
every
with,
5 years, right? That's the rule?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Okay.
Exactly. So with the last movie he made that he got nominated for and won was his role in There Will Be Blood, and that was an amazing movie with a top director playing a pretty much epic role. Here it's even more, right? So he's working with Steven Spielberg, and he's playing this iconic American role in Lincoln. So before we go into more about that, you know, the other people in the league are Hugh Jackman and Les Mis, Joaquin Phoenix, The Master, Denzel. Those three guys right there, I think they have a chance. I think Bradley Cooper was lucky to be nominated. He gave a great performance in Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah, I was surprised. I actually thought he was better than I thought he'd be in that type of challenge. I thought that was like a challenging role, and I thought he actually was better than I expected.
And he pulled through, right? He sort of delivered a great performance there. Hugh Jackman, though, in Les Mis gave an awesome performance, made that movie what it is. He, you know, that movie wouldn't be nominated for Best Picture if it wasn't him in that role. If it was Russell Crowe and then some other guy, it just would not be a movie people would be talking about. So Hugh Jackman, I would say, is the second contender. But then you also have Joaquin Phoenix, who, you know, The Master hasn't been one of these movies that's been talked about. But Joaquin Phoenix, and then also we'll talk about it later, Philip Seymour Hoffman, they're both giving these awesome performances in this more smaller movie, The Master. And you got to remember, the same director who made The Master is the guy who made There Will Be Blood. The director's name is Paul Thomas Anderson. So there's a lot of talent in that movie as well. But I would say Daniel Day-Lewis has it.
All right, let's move over to Best Supporting Actor. Who are the nominees?
All right, so we have Alan Arkin in Argo.
Boo!
We have Robert...
Who boos Alan Arkin? He's a national treasure.
He plays the same character in every movie. Give me a break.
A little confused, a little sarcastic.
John Goodman had a bigger supporting role than he did in that movie. Golly.
I do find it... I thought John Goodman was really good
so
in that
too.
Movie.
I thought so, too. I mean, if you can't nominate one without the other, or you just don't nominate either. I don't get how he got it, but anyway, go on.
Well, maybe Alan Arkin's closer to death, so they're figuring they want to...
He looks good.
He won once, though. Come on. He won for dying halfway through a movie. I mean, come on. But keep going.
That was a great role, though.
Oh, stop it. Okay.
In Little Miss Sunshine? That was a good one.
He was in for 30
that
minutes.
That was a really good role.
No, he's in there for longer. He died at the very end.
That's it.
He died at the very end.
I'm going to make a movie and have Jeremy die in the first scene, and then he'll get nominated for Best Actor.
I'll get nominated.
Yeah, but that's not out of the question for a movie, you know, in the Oscars. Who is it? Judi Dench in the one of those Queen movies?
She had like one scene.
One scene.
And she won.
But she
literally
delivered.
One scene. Yeah, right? So that's all that matters. So then we have Robert De Niro, Silver Linings Playbook, Philip Seymour Hoffman, The Master, Tommy Lee Jones, Lincoln, and Christoph Waltz in Django Unchained. So this one I feel is a little more up for grabs, considering what we saw with Christoph Waltz winning in the Golden Globes for his performance in Django Unchained. And he is an awesome actor. I think the front runner right now, though, is Tommy Lee Jones in Lincoln.
Really?
I think Alan Arkin, Robert De Niro, both gave great performances, but they're also maybe they're not going to win this category.
You don't see the Academy giving it to De Niro as kind of like an accomplishment of a career?
No.
Wait, is there something you know about De Niro? Is something happening to him? Is he okay?
He's all right.
He's going to keep spitting out movies. This is not – this is – yeah, this is
– Hey, Jeremy, this is De Niro. I heard on your podcast you said I'm dying. I'm alive and well.
Go break your legs. So, yeah, you want to say Tommy Lee Jones kind of has this one as well.
I want Alan Arkin to win.
Oh, yeah.
Just to see Spencer's reaction if Alan Arkin wins.
He's a has-been. He has-been. He's washed up.
God. So, but yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman maybe should win. You know, it's a big role he did in The Master. Plays sort of a crazy Scientologist guy, although they're not calling it Scientology, but it's basically a movie about Scientology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's basically channeling L. Ron Hubbard in that whole
exactly,
movie, right?
Exactly. So, I don't know, maybe that's one reason why he wouldn't get, you know, the best nod, because he's sort of playing this controversial role that's sort of it's a little too close to home. Mm-hmm. So I would say Tommy Lee Jones has it. Christoph Waltz, they already gave him an award. He's not going to win. It's going to be Tommy Lee Jones.
But you think his performance was better than Tommy Lee Jones between the two movies?
No.
Oh.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Oh,
I was
just asking.
You know. Okay. No, yeah, I mean, I would say they're equal. You know, Django, he gave a great role great performance in Django. Had a great role. But Tommy Lee Jones maybe has a little more gravitas in the role he played and the movie he was in.
I'm Morgan Freeman, and you're listening to Two Jews and a Gay. Now that's more like it, Mr. Wayne.
Jeremy, I need the weekly rant intro music. Hit it, please. It irritates me. It upsets me. Seriously, Spencer, go fuck yourself. My voice sounded like shit. Never before have I been so irritated with two people. Don't screw me like that. What's up with your fucking friend about my voice? Would you all shut the fuck up? I don't care. You guys made your bed. Don't let it happen again. Or else you might be part of the weekly rant. Okay, so it's been a while since I've done a weekly rant, and something's been bothering me. I've been hearing on the radio these like really, really bad impressions, like vocal impressions of people who have just no earthly business of trying to do voice impressions whatsoever. Like specifically, this one guy is trying to like do a really bad Ronnie Dangerfield impression. And first of all, Ronnie Dangerfield's dead, so he's unlikely to be selling whatever piece of crap, you know, sporting good or automotive product they're trying to hawk at the time. And it just got me thinking about the fact that, honestly, comedy is really hard. And I try to be somewhat of a student of comedy, as I think both Jeremy and Spencer are as well. And it really kind of comes across to me as irritating when people who have no earthly business doing anything with voice impressions try to pawn off some really bad vocal work and try to think they're doing edgy comedy. Like, you know, just because you eat a bowl of Lucky Charms doesn't make you be able to do an Irish voice. Or just because you eat Jell-O pudding doesn't mean you can do Bill Cosby. And there's nothing sadder and more borderline racist than some scrawny-ass white guy with a nasal voice trying to do a black person's voice with, you know, dropping a couple of hanging G's and using the word axe and somehow thinking he's doing edgy comedy. So why do people do this? Like, why? What are their thought process? Are they running these by their friends, and their friends are lying to them and saying that this is really great stuff, and you're fooling me? I really thought you're the next Frank Caliendo. I don't get it. So what I would have, my piece of advice to anybody out there who tries to think that they have some sort of like gift for vocal impression work is, first of all, you probably don't. But if you really think you do, then you need to do some fucking work and do a little research on the subjects that you're trying to impersonate. Like, study their behavior. Look at their, like, vocal tics. Watch their performances. Get physical cues, because at least you can try to pawn it off as something over the top. You have to do an over the top impression. Don't try for subtlety. If you're doing subtle, you're doing it all fucking wrong. So trust me when I say, study and work on it over weeks and months and years, and maybe eventually you won't be wasting my fucking time and the audience's fucking time. And that is the weekly rant.
Well said.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So it is now time for a game that Jeremy and I always have trepidation about. It's a mystery game created by Spencer. So, Spencer?
And Spencer.
Thank you.
Why don't you introduce
and Spencer, again, let the audience know, Brian and I have no idea what this game is about, what topic it could be about. We have no idea. We're completely in the dark.
Hence the term mystery.
That is true. All
right, Derek. Derek, hit the music. Is it Dr. Ron? Is it Brooklyn's own 2 R's, 2 L's, Cheryl? Is it Jared from Subway? Lorne Eric with an I? Is it acclaimed pickup artist / borderline catch a predator TODDE? Or is it what the family had hoped would be a girl all along? Spencer Rena. I'm not going to tell you. Now damn it.
Name that Yasmin. Name that Yasmin. Name that Yasmin.
This game is riveting, folks. And believe me when I tell you, I hope in the future to have future installments of this game. It is called Name That Yasmin.
I'm sold.
It's simple, folks. It's simple. There's 5 Yasmins. There's Ronald. There's Cheryl with 2 R's and 2 L's. There's Toddy. There's Lorne, 1 syllable. And then there's Spencer. I'm going to read off clues. You're going to guess which Yasmin it is. Here's the catch. Some of them might have more than one answer. You're going to have to figure it out on your own. I'm not going to tell you if it's a multiple choice one. You're going to have to figure it out.
And Spencer, before we continue, maybe let the audience know, you know, what's Lauren's relation to you? Who's Toddy? Who's Cheryl? You know,
we haven't discussed this already. Okay, Lorne is the older brother of me.
Who looks
10 years
the
older?
Oldest brother, isn't he the oldest brother?
Oldest.
Who does he look like?
He looks like Jared from Subway.
Before or after?
Definitely before.
Okay, just checking.
Lauren has made some strides, and I don't know if he's on the Subway diet. I think right now he's on the cheesecake diet, but it's okay. Time will tell. He will follow Jared all the way to the promised land. Mm-hmm. And then there's Todd, who's 5 years older than me, and he's living in Austin. And like I said, there's Cheryl, my loving mother, from the mean streets of New York, and Ronald.
The one who
she used to beat up the gang members that used to pick on Ronnie. So. I think my mom.
And she also
that.
Lied to Jeremy about what was for dinner.
And she's also yelled at me multiple times.
Many times. And you know what he got? He well deserved. Though. Well deserved.
Sandra right. Croquettes. Who would have known?
Well deserved. All right, guys, you ready to play this game?
Let's do it.
This is okay. First one. These Yasmins have gotten colonoscopies. Name that Yasmin.
Are you a valid? Name for the name that Yasmin?
What do you think?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
I'll go first. I'm going to say Spencer and Spencer's dad, Ron.
I will go with Jed. Well, wait. How old is Spencer's dad? How old is Ron?
42. How old do you think he is? Come on. He's in his 60s.
Oh, then he's absolutely had a colonoscopy by now. So it's definitely Ron and Spencer.
Answer, Ron, Cheryl, and Spencer.
Oh,
you missed one.
Cheryl!
I both give you 2 points,
though. Women get anal polyps, too.
Spencer, I don't...
I both give you...
Spencer, as we talk about your procedure, I don't get why you never mentioned that your family has a history of this.
Everyone gets it at this age. It's not, no, I'm the one that doesn't get it at this age. That's what's weird about it.
Yeah, like Spencer's parents are supposed to be getting those routine exams for like polyps.
The worst thing I had, guys, was having them go through the talk with me. It's like the sex talk when it was for colonoscopies. It's gonna flow, Spencer. Just keep drinking. It's gonna come out pretty fast.
Did your mom tell you about how much gas you got?
She didn't go into that. She just prepared me for the unexpected. Oh, she's like, man. You know, just keep drinking. Let it all pour out.
Oh, God.
It's like, great. Fantastic.
Let it pour out. Yeah.
All right. So you both tied 2-2 on that one. Next one. Carried a baby Spencer down the stairs of a basement, proceeded to trip and toss him in the air, and dive to catch him at the last second. Has been complaining about back pains from it to this day. Name that Yasmin.
I'm going to go with Cheryl.
I'm going to go with Cheryl as well.
Both are wrong. It was Ron.
Oh, Dr. Ron.
Well, great catch, though, by Ron. I mean,
great catch.
Yeah, but
I've been here ever since.
Very clutch.
Yeah, Brian, at the same time, though, by catching Spencer, he's had years upon years of back pain.
And as someone with lower back pain, like right now, I tell you, I probably
miserable.
Like drop.
It's miserable. And... What's actually really important about this, it's kind of like the, you know, the extinction of the dinosaurs. Like, maybe if he lets me fall, who knows where I am today? Is this podcast even happening?
That is a good question.
So, next one. Is the youngest of their siblings, name that Yasmin?
Spencer.
I think it's a trick question. I'm going to go with Dr. Ron.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, okay, it's Dr. Ron and Spencer, damn it.
Jeremy will go down as the dumbest person ever. Jeremy gets 0.
Oh, come
Brian,
on.
Brian, you get 1 because it's Spencer.
Cheryl's the other
and
youngest.
Cheryl. Yes.
Ah.
She has twin brothers. Jeremy, I don't understand.
I thought you always had a sister named. What was her name again? Spencerina?
Spencerina, yes. She's in my
heart. But you knew Spencer was the youngest. You should have at the very least answered Spencer.
Apparently, I don't know my Yasmins.
Jeremy, whatever happened, let's just make sure that's on the 20th episode, okay? That's got me in the top 5 for best line so far. So, thank you, though. I'm glad you know my family very well. Next up, has a birthday 2 days after a fellow Yasmin. Name that Yasmin.
Whose turn
is it? It's your turn.
Jeremy or... I'm going to go with Todd.
2 days after a fellow Yasmin. I am going to go with Lorne.
You are both incorrect. It was Ron.
Ron?
2 days after Todd.
You know what? He should have dropped you, okay?
There would be no podcast, though, to talk about this.
No, it would just be a lot of, like, you slowly speaking.
Although, you know, watch Spencer, like, he would be more successful. He'd have, you know, like, super rich.
He'd be better looking.
Seriously.
He wouldn't be
He would really look like Colin Farrell. He looks exactly like Colin Farrell if he got dropped.
Thanks a lot, Dad. Thanks for catching me and complaining about your back ever since. Next one. In middle school, the ceiling collapsed on them and several of that person's friends. It's only one person, I will tell
you. I'm going to go with Todd.
I'll go with Lauren.
Jeremy gets it.
Yes.
It was Todd. Poor Todd. The ceiling just, he never had a chance. Walked into middle school, boom.
Today's the first day of the rest of my life.
Now, there's a guy that maybe his life would have been different had something like that not occurred. Who knows, though?
Again, more successful, be rich.
Not a repressed homosexual. I mean, list goes on.
Okay. Next up. Tomato sauce at only the Olive Garden would give them heartburn. Name that Yasmin.
You're up, Ryan.
I know. What's your mom's name again?
Cheryl, two R's.
Cheryl. I'm going to go Cheryl. It seems like the Olive Garden would definitely offend her delicate constitution.
Okay.
I'm going to go with all Yasmins but Spencer.
I'm going to give Jeremy the point because it was only Ron, but he did say all Yasmins but Spencer. So.
No, that's wrong. He doesn't get any points.
Easy, Brian.
Well, let me think about this. I'm going to take the point away because here's the thing. I think if you're off by one, it's fine. But at any point, then you can say all Yasmin. So I have to be fair to Brian. So no points there.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm just being fair. Okay, moving on. Begged to play football in high school. Proceeded to play only for 1 week before quitting to pursue his academics. Allegedly. Name that Yasmin.
I'm really glad you said allegedly because I was like, come on. Let's be honest. I'm going to go with Todd.
I'm going to go with Lauren.
Brian gets it. Oh,
yes.
I can't believe Jeremy missed that one.
Come on. Just played the odds on that one. There hasn't been an exclusive Lauren question all game long.
Jeremy, I mean, you've known Todd all the years. I mean, he's definitely taken steroids throughout his life. He has a rage problem. I mean, come on. It was because of Lauren. Funny story. It's because of Lauren that Todd couldn't play football until his senior year of high school, pretty much. Or, like, until he got to high school, because Lauren was such a wuss about it that my parents refused to let him play. So, however, with me, they couldn't wait for me to play football. They're like, "Go play center. Yeah, you don't even need a helmet. No problem.
You're far too wiry for a center.
Oh, you better believe it though. I was quick. You know, Jeremy played a little quarterback. QB sneak up the middle. Jeremy, give us a...
Shouldn't you have been sleeping with hotter women or hotter girls in high school then, Jeremy, if you were the quarterback?
I was the center. Jeremy was the quarterback. How fitting is that? We never played together at the same time.
Brian.
I'm sure you guys practiced that a lot over the weekend.
We never played together at any point, though.
Brian, I wasn't the quarterback. I was the QB sneak.
Jeremy, give us the call for you when you're about to say hi.
They pull me in to do my first time as QB sneak. I didn't know that. I was thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to become the new quarterback, you know, like... They're going to make me the star quarterback. And I go there, and, like, I'm behind this, like...
He's never thrown one pass before.
Yeah, and I'm behind this, like, 250-pound, like, this guy is just a redneck Texas boy. And I go behind him, like, and the coach says, all right, call the play. And I go, I take out my mouthpiece. I go, blueberry two, hike! And I, like, jog to the end zone.
So you scored?
No, that was it for me.
Coach had seen enough.
Coach yelled at me. Yeah. He's like, come on, what are you doing? Oh, man.
Okay, so Brian took that one. So let's get a quick update of the scoring,
yes.
Shall we? Brian has 3. Brian has 4. Oh. Jeremy has 3. 4-3, Brian.
Wow.
Seems like we've heard this story before. Okay. Next up was throwing a ball with a lacrosse stick off of the house wall. Proceeded to break a window that the other Yasmins were at home to hear. Proceeded to walk back into the house and act as if nothing had occurred. Name that Yasmin.
I think that's is it you or is it me?
I think it's me. I'm going to go with Todd.
I'm going to go with Spencer.
You were both incorrect. It
what?
Was Lauren.
Aww.
Jeremy, Todd and I are fantastic lacrosse players. That would never happen, please. Once again, Lauren proving why he has no business playing sports. Next up. has a condition where throat closes up on them when eating, known as acid reflux.
Oh.
Known to many as the slowest eater ever, therefore, as a result. Name that Yasmin.
I'm going to go with Cheryl.
I'm going to go with Ron.
You both are incorrect. It was Todd.
Oh, God.
Damn it.
And, you know, funny story about this. I'm at the movie theater about to see The Dark Knight with him. And we get some Chinese food beforehand. And all of a sudden, he just stops talking. And I know what that means when he stops talking. His throat's closing up. He gets up, walks to the bathroom. I don't see him for an hour. We are literally moments away from this movie starting. And, you know, the other people that were with us were like, should we wait for him? And I'm like, no! He didn't bring his medicine. This is his fault. I am not missing out on the opening night of The Dark Knight. It's not my problem. And the other two people couldn't believe how rude I was. But I was like, he had business to bring his medicine.
I can't believe it either. He could have died.
He had business to bring his medicine to the dinner. He knows this happens. And when he doesn't take his medicine, this is what happens.
Where is the sympathy?
He is the Yasmin. From me. So, come on.
You're not getting it from
so
me.
There's no,
it's a common trait amongst the Yasmins.
No sympathy with the Yasmins.
Better believe it. All right. Next up. Fell walking down a hill and tore their ACL.
Yikes.
Name that Yasmin.
Jeremy?
Cheryl.
I'm going to go with Ron.
Jeremy takes it. Well done. He knows Cheryl.
I know my Cheryl.
He knows the weaknesses of Cheryl. He always goes after that knee. He always goes for that left knee. But Cheryl, we're glad that you got better over the years and you recovered from that ACL. So I felt really bad for her. I didn't know what
to
do.
You call your mom by her first name?
Oh, Cheryl and I go way back.
That's a little weird.
They go way back.
Way back. Way back. Okay. This is the last one I've decided. The other one wasn't that good, so I took one out. Here we go. Came back from high school spring break with pierced ears. Who was the first? Well, that's one of them, first of all. Who was it that came back from high school break with pierced ears, spring break? And the second part of that question, who was the first to tattle on this Yasmin? Name those Yasmins.
Brian?
I'm going to say Todd and Spencer.
I'm going to say Todd and Spencer as well.
Todd and Spencer?
Todd and Spencer.
Okay. You both get one. It was Lorne who had the earring, and Spencer who tattled.
Fucking rat, Spencer.
Hey, I just got it out of the van.
So we tied
and I said,
again.
What? Here's what I said. I got out of the van. I go, what is on your ear? It was just glowing, and he looks so douchey.
So. Well said.
Okay. So with that, Brian, 3, 4,
we're tied.
5, Jeremy with... 3
5
4 5 It's another tie. You guys can never get away from each other.
This is like kissing our cousin, which I'm sure listeners of this podcast are probably familiar with, or at least some are.
Well, you guys did well. Maybe next game we'll finally have a winner in one of these mystery games.
Well, Spencer, thank you for that mystery game. It was more entertaining than ones in the past, that's for sure.
Oh, that's uncalled for. Someone's still upset that people have been criticizing his voice, apparently. I'm sorry.
What was that?
I said someone's still upset about people criticizing their voice in Dirty Talk. I apologize.
No, I'm upset about 14 questions about Jennifer Lawrence and Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, man. You shouldn't have got them mixed
but
up.
On that note,
that never would have happened.
Let's head over to Dirty Talk Hollywood with Jeremy Katz. Jeremy,
take it away. First headline. One of the hottest comic book movie roles up for grabs is the lead in Marvel's upcoming blockbuster, Guardians of the Galaxy. While the role itself isn't for a widely known character, it would be the lead in a major summer movie, as well as a potential role in The Avengers 2. While the role has finally been cast by Parks and Rec star Chris Pratt, guys, do you give Marvel a thumbs up or thumbs down for casting Pratt in the lead role?
Brian, you can go ahead.
No, Spencer, I think this is all you.
Well, can you tell us anything about the superhero that he's going to be playing?
He's, you know, I'm a big comic book fan, and I actually don't know much about this. It's a very, very, very small comic, but basically he's kind of like the William Shatner. Brian, you want to help me out? What's the name of him? Captain Kirk. The Captain Kirk of the movie.
Oh, that you got Brian very upset there by not knowing that. Well, okay, I guess
well, it's better than he said the T.J. Hooker of the movie. So, you know. I'm taking the Captain Kirk.
You know, I like Chris Pratt a lot. He is really – I'm a huge fan of Parks and Recreation. I think he's a great character on the show. I'm a little skeptical to see him in the lead role. You know, I mean, even the guy that plays Thor, Chris Hemsworth, mm-hmm. or whatever. Oh, what's his name? Chris Hemsworth. Yeah. Hemsworth. I mean, you know, he doesn't seem like he has a lot of acting chops behind him either. So it will be interesting, but – you know, I want to
say this. I'm looking at images of Chris Pratt, and there's one of him in his underwear that is really quite spectacular. if this guy's going to be shirtless, I think I'm.
Are we right talking about the same Chris Pratt?
Yeah, he's a big dude. He's a bigger guy.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he's like a big hunk of man cake.
Okay.
Although he doesn't look, at least in this picture, he's not packing much underneath the trunks.
I will say,
but
it makes me wonder, Jeremy, if it's going to be more of like a comedic, like Robert Downey Jr. You know, Stark type role, because that's what this guy is good. Even at Zero Dark Thirty, mm-hmm. you know, he's playing a Navy SEAL, yet he's got a lot of one-liners almost with the jokes. So I don't know. I'm a little skeptical.
Do you want to see him naked though?
Well,
yes.
Just a left cheek.
Just left cheek. Okay. Very cool.
Left cheek.
Yeah, well, it was an interesting choice. That's definitely his agent's definitely getting a raise after that one. Next headline. Most celebrity couples dominate the gossip sites and magazines, but one couple that stayed out of the public eye is Michelle Williams and, wait for it, Jason Segel. Yes, the two have been dating for over a year and are getting pretty serious.
Really?
So I have to ask you two. Can Michelle Williams do a lot better than that guy?
Well, you know, I would say the power of laughter knows no physical attributes. You know, like it almost trumps them. So, you know, Michelle Williams is a very fetching lady, and I would say, like, while I couldn't imagine them together initially, I think, you know, he makes her laugh. I think it works. I think I totally see that pairing.
And Spencer, can Michelle Williams do a lot better than that guy?
I don't think a lot better. I mean, given her history, you know, she was with Heath Ledger. You know, she's probably looking for something more secure. I mean, more secure in life. But I don't know. I thought isn't he Segel kind of a party animal himself? I mean, maybe she's just attracted to these type of guys. So I don't know. I'm not really gaga over Michelle Williams. Mm-hmm. Is that her name, right?
Michelle Williams. Yeah.
She's cute, but, you know.
Yeah.
And
Brian, for the record, we're not talking about Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child. We're talking about the actress, okay? Just for the record.
I know. She has kind of the mop top blonde hair.
All right, guys. Final headline. Boys, Hollywood is one tough town. One day you win an Oscar, and the next, well, I'll let you be the judge. Robin Williams has signed on to star in a CBS sitcom. The workplace comedy is about an advertising agency run by a father and a daughter. This marks Williams' first time back on TV since Mork and Mindy ended in 1982. Boys, what has happened to Robin Williams?
Well, here's the thing, though. Maybe nothing, because it could actually be a really good show. I haven't heard anything about like how the production's coming along, who they're having cast alongside him. But a lot of, you know, A-list Hollywood types go on to do great work in TV. And, you know, he did get a start in TV. So I think this could potentially be a really smart move for him.
Spencer?
So I'm withholding my judgment.
Here's my thoughts. One, I just saw him recently in a Snickers commercial.
I saw that too. Oh, my God.
Good God. Oh. And then two, I didn't like
Well, he was, in fairness, he was doing the typical Robin Williams sort
and
of
And it was
shtick.
So like, ugh.
And then two, I didn't like the first time this show came out called Just Shoot Me.
I don't know if that's an insult.
Nobody liked Just Shoot Me. I mean,
it's the same premise. That's the same premise.
No, weren't they? No, they were running a magazine.
What's it? This is advertising. It's the same thing. It's stupid.
No,
it's not going to work.
They were running a magazine. Totally different.
Not going to work.
Totally different.
I'm
like
ashamed.
A Cosmo kind of thing.
Let me tell you what Morgan Freeman needs. I mean, Robin Williams needs to do. He needs to go back and make Father's Day 2, because that is a very underrated movie. Some of the best one-liners are in that movie with him and Billy Crystal. He got no respect back in the day. That's the kind of movies he needs to stick to. Not World's Best Dad and some of these other awful movies he's sold out.
I'm pretty sure it's roles like that got him this sitcom. So
You're probably, but Father's Day was great. Come on, be honest now. Father's Day was great.
That Snickers commercial, though, oh my God. Like, he is doing his shtick, and you're just, like, shaking your head like, dear God, this is horrible.
He's in the same. He's not doing that. I hope he's not doing typical Robin Williams stuff. Like, for example, the best role that I've seen him in his acting history is probably in Good Will Hunting, where he has comedic moments, but he's playing it straight, and he comes off as actually very genuine and has genuine comedic moments, as opposed to, like, doing the Robin Williams thing.
His best role was in Hook. Come on now. Let's be honest.
Boys, that's Dirty Talk Hollywood.
Hey, this is Joel Garcia from If These Balls Could Talk, and you're listening to Two Jews and a Gay.
I have to say, Jim, I'm a little disappointed that we didn't have any Morgan Freeman Dirty Talk headlines for us.
I know. And he's a fan of the podcast.
He's a fan of the podcast. We definitely thank Morgan Freeman for his contributions to this week's episode.
He had a lot to say. Thanks, Morgan. He had a lot to say.
Thanks, Morgan.
A lot to say.
He sounded almost kind of sickly, but, you know, hey.
Yeah, like yeah, a little bit. He just, but,
it seems like he likes to talk really slow. He just likes to pace his words. I appreciate that out of a man.
How did you get Morgan Freeman on the show, by the way?
I can't reveal my sources now. Come on. That's not fair. That's not fair to my sources or Morgan. I will be getting coffee with him in a couple minutes, though. Hold Morgan.
Oh, can we get Morgan. Morgan on the? Can we get Morgan Freeman on the show right now?
I can't do that.
Come on, just see what
we should put a phone call.
Yeah, come on, smack it on with Corey.
Put a phone
get
call.
Your hands
right
off
now.
Of
come
Corey.
On.
Get your hands off of Corey. I'm sorry, I can't.
Anyway, let's wrap up the episode with the best picture discussion from our conversation with Derek. All right, and then obviously the big enchilada, the one that everyone waits for, Best Picture for 2013 or 2012 technically. Who do you think is going to win? And first of all, who are the nominees?
Okay, so we have, and I'm not going to talk about the producers. I'm going to just say the names. We have Amour, Argo, Beasts of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained, Les Mis, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty.
And Dark Knight Rises, honorable mention.
Right. They're like the top in the Saturn Awards. I don't know if you know what that is, Spencer. That's what they get. They're going to win that.
Is that like the worst movies? No, isn't that the Razzies?
No, it's like sci-fi and fantasy movies.
Oh, I'll take it.
Probably get tickets to that one pretty easily. So front runner right now, obviously, is Lincoln.
Really? You really think Lincoln could win Best Picture?
Yes. Yeah, it does. It has the pedigree. It has Steven Spielberg, Kathleen Kennedy as the producers. It's got Daniel Day-Lewis as your main actor, and, you know, has all the nominations in all the fields, including Best Director. And usually they say the movie has the Best Director, usually going to win Best Picture. Usually that's kind of how it, like, lines up.
Well, unfortunately, yeah. Argo can't get that because he wasn't nominated.
Right. I don't think Argo is going to win Best Picture. Silver Linings Playbook is one of these movies that people are going to talk about. Oh, it could win. But then you look at the movies that are similarly like that, like Juno, Little Miss Sunshine. These are movies that were nominated for Best Picture, ultimately didn't win.
Yeah.
You know, they gave Best Pictures to movies like The Departed, No Country for Old Men. Some movies that are a little more serious.
Do you think Django has any chance?
I think it has a better chance at winning for the original screenplay. It might win that role, that nomination. So that, I mean, Argo, you know, I don't think that's gonna win.
I gotta say,
I just don't.
I sense you don't really love Argo.
I thought it was good. I understand why they didn't nominate him for Best Director. It was a good movie. It just kind of felt a little clunky to me in some places.
I gotta be honest.
And it felt like a little bit of the suspense was a little, you know, lifted. It didn't feel natural.
See, and that's what I loved about the movie. I thought it was, even though it's like you know what's gonna happen, I thought it had this element of suspense throughout where it didn't go over the top, but you're constantly engaged throughout the entire movie. Where I just recently started Zero Dark Thirty, and I'm like, this was a good movie, but I feel like they could have taken 30 minutes out of it because it was just like dragging at times. Where Argo was like constantly like, I'm wanting to know what's gonna happen next, even though I know what's gonna happen. So.
Right. And I think Argo and Zero Dark Thirty kind of fall in the same category where it's relevant to everything that's going on politically and has this whole like Middle Eastern thing going and it makes people mm-hmm. think. And I think that is important. But then you look at a movie like Lincoln, which is, you know, our president that we look to and celebrate and has this iconic figure in it. It's something that's probably going to take the big enchilada.
And a movie we haven't really talked much about in the categories is Life of Pi. Do you think Life of Pi has a realistic shot of winning?
You know, I think it might win some of the technical awards. It maybe have a chance at Best Director. It was a really cool movie. Visually, it was a great movie. Storytelling, it was awesome. I don't know if you guys saw it, but I saw
I did see it.
I saw it in 3D, and I enjoyed it in 3D. I didn't really think it actually did anything for me with the 3D. I don't think it really added anything extra.
Yeah, I mean, I think 3D is very gimmicky in general, and that doesn't do anything for me. So I saw it in 3D as well. I thought visually stunning. I think it was the perfect kind of movie to be done in 3D because it was so vibrant and bright. Mm-hmm. Where a lot of times when you see a lot of other movies that are converted to 3D, it's kind of murky and muddled. Yeah. And when you throw the glasses on, it just doesn't do it. It doesn't look as right. good. But I think Life of Pi was a great movie
and
for 3D conversion.
Something to note out: it wasn't converted. It was shot in 3D and edited in 3D, and you know. So it was a movie made in 3D.
Now, Brian, when you see a 3D movie, are you putting the glasses on top of your glasses?
Of course.
I remember I did that for Avatar, Derek. I had my glasses, and then I had the 3D glasses on top. It is like it's so
you're
much
double vision.
It's not a good look.
It kind of reduces the light it's going through. You know,
if I didn't, all I would see was this like big screen of like random flashing lights. That would be all I could make out.
Yeah, all right, so Derek. Life of Pi is probably going to win best cinematography. It's not up to against really. I mean, it's got up against Lincoln and it's up against Skyfall. I think Life of Pi is probably going to get that technical awards.
So you said that you think Lincoln will win. In your opinion, what should win Best Picture?
I think Lincoln should.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Silver Linings Playbook was a great movie, right? It was one of these movies that obviously if there was only five movies would probably fit in the last fifth spot. Mm-hmm. Life of Pi was great, but I don't think anything and no one's really talking about it. Argo, right, that one, but that's that one for Emmy or not Emmys, but the Golden Globes, right? So and as Spencer or Brian mentioned earlier, doesn't really mean much, right? Mm-hmm. People vote the voting body for the Oscars and for Golden Globes are two separate groups. And Argo was an important movie internationally because it was an international crisis as much as an American crisis. And, you know, it's an important movie, but you look at the people that are voting in America, in the Academy, it's going to be Lincoln. Hands down.
All right, Derek, we will see if you're right come the 24th of February, and we thank you, our resident film expert, for taking some time and discussing this with us today.
All right, guys, well, it's been real. Thanks for having me on, and I will I'll see you guys next time.
We love
you.
Thanks for taking over this podcast.
We appreciate it.
Oh, you are welcome.
We are back, and we're very interested to see how his predictions pan out. Oscar Sunday is next Sunday, or this upcoming Sunday, the 24th. So we're all looking forward to it, and we'll see how Oscar Gold gets handed out this year. So, did you guys have any closing thoughts before we wrap it up?
I learned a lot about the Yasbins, you know?
So did I. I learned a disturbing amount about the Yasbins.
They're a weird bunch.
The good news is there's plenty more to come, so don't you worry. They don't disappoint.
It was a pleasure having Morgan Freeman stop in on the podcast. I mean, he did sound a little
I think nasally was the word you were saying.
A little nasally, a little scrawny. A little whiter than we're used to, but definitely it was a pleasure to have him on.
Well, that's offensive. I'll make sure Morgan does not listen to this episode. Yeah, we're about to go out. I'm sorry, guys. He wants to go to In-N-Out Burger. We got to wrap this up.
Tell Morgan Freeman to make sure he takes his cholesterol medication. He is an older man now.
But he fucks like a jackhammer. Oh,
Jesus.
Is that what Corey says? Is that your source?
No comments.
And anyway, on that note, for Jeremy Katz, I am, and Spencer Yasmin, I am Brian Martinson, and Spencer, give us one last Morgan Freeman before we head off.
He won't come here. I'm sorry.
Are you sure? Damn it,
Brian.
I'm really hoping for another.
Let me end the show with please captivate us next episode.
I think I've been very captivating this episode.
Okay, good.
But seriously, catch us next time, and thank you for listening.